I'm joined on the phone today by Trevin Wax, managing editor of the Gospel Project at Lifeway Christian Resources, about his upcoming novel. Hello, Trevin. It's great to talk to you today.
Great to be with you.
Now, where did the idea for this book come from, and why does it matter so much to you?
Well, in recent years, I have been encouraged by a renaissance of fiction writing from conservative Christians who put forth traditional biblical ideas, but in a very compelling and creative framework. I'm thinking of people like Andrew Peterson, Jonathan Rogers, others who have done lots of imaginative things with fiction, and really following in the footsteps of some great Christian thinkers of the past. You think of people like C.S. Lewis, who could do apologetics on the one hand and make great arguments and reason with people and on the one hand, and then yet also could write allegorical works such as The Four Loves or give us The Chronicles of Narnia. People like G.K. Chesterton as well, critics who debated and reasoned and gave us lots of memorable quotes and yet also gave us the Father Brown series and wrote a series of novels. And I suppose in thinking through our history as evangelicals and to how we have engaged people with Christian truth in different forms, I was drawn to the idea of telling a story that would teach, but would be more than just a vehicle for teaching, but would also be compelling of a story in its own right. And that led me to the creation of two characters who come from different worlds in a lot of ways, and to experiment with these two characters, to put them in a situation where they would have time and they would have the need to dialogue and to wrestle with important truths that the people in our world talk about and which are sometimes controversial, and to let these two to do this in a way that's undergirded by grace and by love and in the context of their relationship. And so I'm excited because I think it offers a way of talking about some of the most important aspects of our life, of our faith, in a way that is respectful, winsome, engaging, and at the same time allows people the space to question and to doubt even as they seek for answers.
You use fiction techniques to explore some very weighty topics, the nature of faith and doubt, justice, hell, the meaning of vocation, and even forgiveness. So what opportunities does story offer you as an apologist that exposition doesn't?
Well, I think it's the difference between exploration and exposition. In exposition, you're basically laying out, here's what I believe and why I think you should believe it too. In a story form, you can do that, and some people have tried that, and it tends to come off as quite stiff and possibly even manipulative. My goal was really to put these two characters together and allow them to explore these truths together. So you do have a very firm but gracious older character in this story, Gil, who is very grounded and solid in his faith and yet vulnerable physically. And then you have his grandson, Chris, who is very healthy and about to begin his life and is seeking direction in his life, and yet he is very vulnerable spiritually. And in putting them together and allowing them to explore some of these issues that the younger generation, Chris, has been wrestling with, is just that. It's exploration. So, you know, the grandfather doesn't always come out on top in these debates that they have back and forth. And yet, at the same time, they are learning together. They are helping each other in different ways. Chris helping his grandfather physically, his grandfather helping his grandson spiritually. And then they're also working through issues related to forgiveness and issues that are always at the back of our intellectual doubts. Our doubting never takes place in a vacuum. Our doubting is always connected to who we are as people and the kind of relationships that we have, the kind of breakdown in some of our relationships, and it's connected to our moral choices as well. And I think one of the exciting things about this book is that by telling a story rather than just engaging intellectual arguments, is that you get to see a well-rounded view of how people as people interact on these issues and how they peel back the layers beyond just the intellectual hang-ups that people might have about Christianity, to get back to some of the root issues that go back to the heart. And I think that's really where the strength is. It shows us how we can do that as people who are exploring the truths of Christianity with other people.
It's almost like two worlds collide in Grandpa Gil's house. There's the friendly small-town world where Gil has invested decades of his life in ministry. Then there's Chris's world at a secular university, where following Christ makes a person an outlier and a misfit. Now, what drew you to this collision as a writer and theologian?
You know, it's interesting that you would put it that way. I don't know that I anticipated it really being a collision, so to speak, but in thinking about it, I think that's a great way to describe it. And I'd say what drew me to putting these two characters together is the fact that we're living this. This is the collision in the world that we're living in. The remains of Christendom, of a basically Christianized culture that is takes certain Judeo-Christian values for granted, that culture is disappearing, and disappearing very rapidly. And in some of the major cities in the U.S. and North America, I think we would say that that culture is already long gone. Then you have pockets of that Christian culture still at work in certain places in the Bible Belt and whatnot. And because of this, you have a really polarized discussion when it comes to politics, when it comes to religion, when it comes to matters of faith in the public sphere, when it comes to all sorts of issues. And so there are lots of young people like Chris who have grown up in church and yet have not come to the point where they've decided if they really own this faith, if Christianity truly is the truth that they're going to live by. And they're challenged when they meet people of other faiths, people of no faith, when they are suddenly being ostracized, or they find that their views related to morality, to sexuality, to all sorts of views that Christians have about the world, when they find that those are out of the mainstream. And one of the things that Gil says in the book is in response to Chris, who's saying, you know, our views on such and such issue are not in the mainstream. And one of Gil's responses is, King Jesus is never mainstream. You find a King Jesus who fits in the mainstream, and I'll guarantee you haven't found the true Jesus. And using one of the lines from G.K. Chesterton, Gil says, any old dead thing can float downstream. The sign of life is that you're swimming upstream, that you are not just going with the flow, but that you're actually thinking, living, doing whatever it takes to be true to the faith that's been passed down to you, and that we are responsible for passing down to those who come behind us. And so there is a lot of this back and forth between the two generations, because, again, Chris is challenging the views that he's grown up with and also trying them on for size. Is this true? Is he going to live it? And I think that the reason this is makes for compelling reading is because this is the world we live in. There are people that are wrestling with these things every day, and giving them the opportunity to wrestle along with these characters, I think, will hopefully help people to understand not just what they believe, but why they believe what they believe, and why it's important to hold on to what they believe in a world that is quickly changing.
Now, Trevin, describe the reader you think will most be drawn to your book, and what outcome do you most want for that reader?
I think there are two kinds of people who will be most drawn to this. I think, first, people who identify immediately with Chris, who is the main character who we enter in to the scene with. Chris is, again, someone who has a church background and has been Christian, so to speak, all of his life, and yet is really wrestling at that moment now. Is he all in or is he all out? Is he going to walk away from his faith, or is he going to Is he going to own it for himself? Chris also has some issues with his father. That's one of the most important threads in the Bible. One of the most important threads in the book is Chris's issues with his dad. He is struggling to forgive his dad. He's struggling to overcome some of the hypocrisy that he has seen in his dad's life and which he is now projecting onto Christianity as a whole. And I think there are a lot of young readers who are going to resonate with that. I've done a lot of ministry with college students, and I hear these kinds of things regularly. College students are asking questions. They're curious, not just intellectually, but also when it comes to issues of hypocrisy and the truth of Christianity and how it affects the way we live, how it affects the way we serve, how it affects the way we love other people in our community, including those who disagree with us. And I think a second group that's going to resonate with this book are going to be longtime Christians who are a little more grounded in their faith, but will benefit and will enjoy the way that a seasoned saint, the grandfather in this book, the way that he argues the case for traditional Christianity. He's not arguing from a position of anger, not from a position of superiority. He's not arguing from a vantage point where he looks at everyone else as completely wrong and he's the only one with the truth. But he argues very winsomely, very persuasively, likes to turn things on their head, likes to challenge conventional wisdom in a way that gets the grandson and, by extension, the reader thinking, and yet does so winsomely that you can't help but like the guy. I suspect that most readers of this book are going to immediately resonate with Chris, but by the end of the book, Gil is going to be the one they remember. He is, in many ways, the central character of the book because he is the one who is helping the grandson through this crisis of faith. And his vulnerability comes out as well. He is ashamed at times to show his physical weakness, and I think his vulnerability and the realness and the authenticity of his character will serve readers well who are longtime Christians but may not know how to engage people who have radically different views on certain things with the truth of Christianity, and to engage them in a way that is not offensive and is not off-putting but is winsome and cheerful. And I think Gil provides that.
Trevin Wax has been my guest today. Trevin is the managing editor of the Gospel Project at Lifeway Christian Resources. Thanks so much, Trevin. Great to talk to you today.
Thank you so much.